Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
And I truly believe that the Lord has a message for us because it's a significant time in history. How many believe that our Jewish friends are the ones that wrote the entire Bible? Okay, the Old Testament prophets wrote the Old Testament, and then we had some of the apostles write the New Testament. The New Testament was written in Greek, but the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. And one of the things we're going to see in this teaching this morning is tomorrow is a significant day in world history, actually. How many have read the book of Acts? Okay. And what can you recall that took place 2,000 years ago in the book of Acts? The Holy Spirit was poured out, right? On the day of Pentecost. Okay. So I'm excited about this morning's teaching because I truly believe that we're going to see in God's prophetic timeline that Jesus is all through the seven feasts of the Lord. Now, our Jewish friends, they religiously practice this once a year. So what do they practice? Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, and then First Fruits. Then 50 days later, they celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. Then in the fall, they celebrate the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Yom Kippur, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Tabernacles is going to be the culmination of God and man once again reunited face to face. It's found throughout the book of Revelation. It's found throughout the book of Daniel and many other epistles. And how many can't wait to be changed and to be like Jesus? Amen? Amen? Listen, when that day happens, guess what? We'll have a body that lives forever. Listen, this body will retire. And how many of you know Evangelist Felipe Reyes? Amen. I want you to pray for him. I was with him last night in his mother's hospital room, and she only has a few days left. She's 95, I believe. I shared with Brother Felipe. I said, Brother, ask God to prepare your heart now to release her, because she wants to go home now. She was in a coma. She was like in a coma state. And we walked into the room. We anointed her with oil. And we just started praying in the Holy Spirit. And the nurse was like, wow. Because the whole time she was in the hospital for 10 days, she didn't speak a word. And we prayed and the Spirit of God fell on her. And she woke up and she spoke. And she told her son, I want to go home to be with Jesus now. I want to be in heaven now. That was a witness to that nurse. She goes, I never heard her speak. She never said anything. And I said, the Spirit of God came upon her to just rest assured to her son that she's ready to go be with Jesus. So those of you that know Brother Felipe, pray for him. He's been a wonderful servant. He's preached here throughout the years at Amazing Grace. One of the things that I missed were the four nights of prayer in January, where he would just lay before the Lord, and man, we saw God pour out the Spirit, and many people would receive. You remember those days, huh? Come on, brother. You remember them days? That's right. I want to have your attention up here. Let me get there real quick, and then we'll get into our announcements here. Okay, do you see right behind me? Okay, Evangelist Donald Perkins is going to be with us once again next month, June 20th. Don't miss out on this one. He told me, he gave me a little tidbit. He said that he shared it with a church that had about 5,000 people up in Chino, Calvary Chapel of Chino. And there's like 5,000 that, I mean, huge facility. And the pastor was like, was shocked and awe on what he came in and showed the deception that's in the church. So he's going to share that same message with us next month. He's a busy man. I mean, up until June, he's in several states. He goes from state to state to state. He's really sought after. And he's a Bible teacher. Last week, we loved Bishop. Bishop's a whole different kind of style. Amen? Bishop comes with anointing. And he comes, you know, the apostolic way, which I love. I was raised in an apostolic church, so I can relate to that. Can I get amen? He's a teacher, and he's going to teach us. He's going to show us some things that, remember last time he was here? What did he share? I had no clue. I thought that when the rapture took place, we're going to be changed, and boom, we're going to be caught up to be with the Lord in the air instantly. And he had to clarify that. He said that when Jesus comes in the clouds, our bodies will be changed immediately here on earth, and we're going to float up. And it's going to be a witness to the unbeliever. Because the unbeliever is going to watch us go up. And man, it's going to be a little too late. And so I'm excited. I don't know about you, but I'm excited because Jesus is about to return. Oh, that's right. You see, there's going to be some baptisms taking place today. And what that signifies is the Lord Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. So look at the water, whether it's in a jacuzzi, ocean, lake, that's a watery grave. And when you go down in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're being buried with Christ. And when you come up, the newness of life, the new person comes up. Brother Steve, who's with us right now, I remember the day you came. It was a Friday night, and four other brothers. Yes, and God poured out his spirit. And brother, can I share what God did with you?
Sure.
Is it okay? Are you okay with that?
Yes. Yeah, great.
All right. Real quickly, now I'm going to get into the study. But this man, I'm just going to say, we all had vices in our life. Can I get amen? We've all had addictions to many things, and you guys know my testimony, right? We all had these things, and for many years at Mission Valley Christian Fellowship, the 745, that was the very first one, him and his brother would sit in the front, and you know, I'd greet them, hello, and then Pastor Leo raised up a prayer team, and then we would pray for souls for all five services, 745, the 9:30 and the 11:15, and then the one in the evening at 6, and then Wednesday night. Brother Tony can testify to that. He saw Yolanda and I in charge of five services. But that 7:45, Brother Steve would come with his brother faithfully. And they'd be there listening to Pastor Leo, and then I'd pray for them. Then I invited them to our home fellowship. There was 13 home fellowships in the county. 13. We were the South Bay one. And something was happening over there at 502 Douglas Street. You know why? Because souls were getting baptized. Souls were getting filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, it was like, and then Pastor Leo pulled me aside. He goes, "You guys are not having a fellowship over there. You guys are having a church." I said, you know what? God's choosing to pour out. And when Brother Steve came, and when he came out of the water, I love how he said it. He said, "The booyah came on me." For those of you in English, just in simple terms, the Spirit of God came upon him, and he was delivered immediately. Listen, the whole time he was coming to church, he was lit up from the night before. And there was no sleep in this guy. He was like bright-eyed and bushy. Everyone was like, man, I need some coffee, you know. He was like this. And I knew what was up. Can I get amen? Come on. I've been down that road, right? But when he came out of that water, immediately, if not sooner, hallelujah. Man, and from that moment on, Brother Steve was on fire for God. Man, he was the first one to the home fellowship on Friday. He would call me, howdy, home buckets. Are you guys home? I want to come over. I said, honey, close the blinds and muzzle the dog. No, we love you, you know that. You and Marisa, and she's another testimony. I can't go there right now with her. With her Arthur Murray dance shoes. We serve a mighty God, don't we? Oh, yes, we do. We serve a mighty God. Praise God. Praise God. And so, listen, if you have your cell phones, please put them on the off and silent position, please. Amen. And we're going to start this message right now. And I'm excited about this message, but allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. And we thank you for your mercy. Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, The Feast of Pentecost. And as you can see, today is May 16th, but Sivan 6 in the Hebrew calendar, matter of fact, if you were given a bulletin today, we follow the Jewish calendar with the Gregorian side by side. So tomorrow, when sun sets, it'll be the Feast of Pentecost. And we're going to see the prophetic significance that what took place then, what's taking place now, and it continues to take place until Jesus comes for us. Can I get amen? And so, are you there? Are you ready to read some of the word? Okay, I'm going to ask you real quickly, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus chapter 23. And if you want to stand and read the scriptures out loud, and then we're going to be seated. Amen? So if you want to stand and open up your Bibles, let's go to Exodus chapter 23. We're going to read verses 14 through 16, and then we can be seated. Amen? Here we go. Exodus 23, 14 through 16. I got the word of God. If you don't have your Bible, it'll always be right up here on the screen. Praise God. Now, the word of God reads, 3 times you shall keep a feast to me in the year. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days as I command you. And the time appointed in the month of Abib, for in it you came out of Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. And verse 16, and the feast of harvest, the first fruits of your labors, which you have sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering at the end of the year, when you have gathered in the fruit of your labors from the field. May the Lord have a blessing to the hearer and reader of his word. You may be seated. And so, saints, the Feast of Shavuot, it's named several things. I want your attention right up here. This is what this festival was identified in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. It was called the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Harvest, the Latter First Fruits, the Feast of Pentecost, you and I as Christians, we know, and the Feast of Shavuot. Okay. One of the reasons why it's called the Feast of Harvest is because this was a time that Israel gathered its grain and they presented it unto God. And they would get the sheaves of wheat and they would wave it in the wind and they would honor God for the fruit of their labor. Well, how ironic that God chose this feast day, which is called Pentecost, to pour out the Holy Ghost. You see, for 2,000 years now, God has been ingathering. In other words, he's been gathering souls around the world. because the Holy Spirit was poured out 2,000 years ago. But we're going to see how significant this festival is, because to the Jewish, our Jewish friends, they look at it in a religious connotation. They don't look at it through the lens of the Spirit of God. They don't see Jesus in any of the festivals, but we do. Because once you become born again, God opens up your understanding. He gives you wisdom from the Word. He allows you to see the things that were already here in the Word, but then He reveals them to you through the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, there are many things in the Word of God that have already been established. The Bible says the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. But for a brand new Christian or for someone that's studying the Word of God, you may have read passages that didn't connect with you. You didn't comprehend it until the Spirit of God illuminated your mind and showed you that these things were always here. You just didn't see it. It's like walking into a dark, dark, pitch black room, and you're walking around and you can't see anything. And then someone turns the light on and you go, oh, there's a couch. Oh, there's a lamp. Well, those things were always there. You just couldn't see it. Amen. Until the light came. And when the light comes, He illuminates these things. Now, I want your attention right up here. As you can see this chart, there are spring festivals and fall festivals. Now, let's look how significant this is. God already, in His foreknowledge, He already, in His mind, knew the day that He was going to send His only begotten Son to die for our sins. And He just didn't choose an ordinary day. He chose the day of Passover. Jesus was crucified on the day of Passover. And this is, how significant is it? Is because, remember, Passover was celebrated by the Jews, because they were what? They were freed from slavery from Egypt under the tyranny of Pharaoh. For 430 years, they were in bondage. So God chose Passover to pour out His Spirit, but also, not only that He would allow us to see on Passover that Jesus would die to free us from our sin. Wow. And so you have to see the correlation here. Now, look at this. The second feast they celebrate is the next day. It's called Unleavened Bread. Now, how many days was Jesus in the tomb? Three, right? So He was crucified on Passover, and then they put Him in the tomb. So the next day, the Jews celebrate unleavened bread. Now, when you do a study on the word unleavened, it's a type of no sin. So Jesus, who had no sin, became sin that we would become the righteousness of Christ by faith. So He's now in the tomb with no sin. He was the sinless Savior. Can I get an amen? And then what happened on the third day? He rose again, right? Well, guess what? He rose on their third festival called the First Fruits. He was the first to rise from the dead. My goodness, to live forevermore. You see how this is tying in with their festivals? But until you see this, you have to visually see this to connect the dots. All we're doing is connecting the dots. Now, 50 days later, the Jews count the Omer, which is 49 days. And on the 50th day, they celebrate the feast of Shavuot, which is Pentecost. Well, that happens tomorrow, sundown. And if we were still at the Jewish temple, Brother Angels knows, we would have to come back in the afternoon and do our service. Because we would have to get pushed out of the way, and they would come in there and do a morning service with 10 people. And we would have many times, and we would have to come back that afternoon because, you know, we're just honoring the contract. When the festivals come for them, they take precedence over that. So we didn't complain. We did it with joy. You know, we weren't going, oh, hey, we just rolled with it. Now, as you can see in the fall, those three festivals have not yet been prophetically fulfilled, and they are about to. We don't know what year, but we know that when Jesus comes, Many scholars believe it'll be on the Feast of Trumpets because it ties in with Thessalonians, Corinthians, that when the shofar is blown, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we that are alive and remain shall be caught up. Now, that second to the last feast is called Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. This is many, even biblical scholars, Christians, believe that that's when God is going to pour out his wrath on this earth and judge and open up all the books, the book of life. There are many books that God's going to open up. And it's clear. The Bible says if your name is not written in the book of the Lamb or the book of life, you're not going to make it in. God is certain about that. And so this is why these past 2,000 years, God has poured out the Holy Spirit by grace that we would receive Christ so that our names would be written in the book of life. Can I get amen? How many of you can honestly say your name is written in the book of life? Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's right. That's right. And so, man, I'm telling you, if there's a time to get fire insurance, get it now. Oh, yes. The last one is called Tabernacles. And praise God. Tabernacles is where we're going to fellowship with God face to face. No one has seen God face to face. Do you know that we're saved by his name only? Huh? The Bible says no one's seen him, but yet we believe. And God is saying in this dispensation of time, these 2,000 years, is all you have to do is receive Jesus by faith and believe that he died and rose again and ask him to come into your heart. And by faith, God comes and shows up. Can I get amen? He comes and shows up. Right, Brother Steve? He came and showed up with you. I saw it with my own eyes. Man, if he can save a home bucket like him, he can save anybody. Praise God. Now, we're going to look at the Feast of Weeks, okay? So follow me, saints of God. Follow me. Praise God. God is good. Do we serve a mighty God? Amen. So Feast of Weeks was another name that was given because God commanded the Jews in Leviticus to count 7 full weeks, 49 days, beginning on the second day of Passover. So when Passover came, they started counting the days. So now, tomorrow, will be Pentecost. 49 days have gone by since Passover. Remember, we taught on Passover, right? And then they were to present the offerings of new grain to the Lord as a lasting ordinance, meaning forever and forever. Let's look at this for a moment. Let's look at this. In Leviticus 23:15, the Bible says, "And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheave of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day that the 7th Sabbath, then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord." So, my friends, Shavuot, which is the Feast of Weeks, which is Pentecost, was originally a festival for expressing thankfulness to the Lord. Why? For blessing the harvest. They always gave God glory. Did you know that God always made sure that the grains would grow in Israel? How many of you been to Israel? Raise your hand. All right, several of us. Isn't it a beautiful place? You go down to the desert. Right when you pass the Dead Sea and you're going down, further down, and it's all green. There's agriculture. The desert is blossoming, just like the Word of God said. God is true in his Word. He said in the last days that Israel would be a blessing to the world, that Israel would blossom and people would purchase their products like their agriculture and their technology. This little tiny nation has been a blessing to the world. But God told Abraham, he said that you will be a blessing to the world. He said, "I will bless them that bless you and curse them who curse you. And through you, Abraham, all the nations of the world will be blessed." And we have been blessed because of them. I hope you know that. We need to pray for them because right now they're in turmoil. Right now, the nations are raging. Right now, Hamas is firing rockets on them. We need to pray against that. Can I get amen? Why do they want to annihilate? Ask yourself this. Why do Hamas and the Palestinians continually want to destroy Israel? You know why? Because in their Quran, they don't believe Christ. And they've read the Bible that Jesus is going to come and set up camp in Jerusalem. Can I get amen? So they're trying to banish the Jews for not letting that happen. But I got news for you, Mr. Palestinians. God is going to have his way. Can I get amen? You can fire all your rockets, but all God has to do is this. And it's over. Can I get it? And then it's over. Praise God. Praise God. So we need to look at this also. It's called, we're going to look at many names of this festival. And one of them was this, the latter first fruits. The latter first fruits. You see, the celebration is also tied to the giving of the Ten Commandments. You see, we think that Pentecost just happened in the book of Acts. I'm here to let you know, Pentecost happened thousands of years ago when Moses went up to bring the law. You're going to catch this in a moment. But Moses had to go up and bring the law to bring order. Why? Because during that time, they were living chaotically. There was no structure in the land. And so God, with his finger, wrote the Ten Commandments, gave it to Moses. He goes, now teach the people that they should live by these laws and that they would live. Anything outside of that, they would find themselves dying or perishing, or things wouldn't go right in their lives. And so the celebration of the first fruits is tied to the giving of the Ten Commandments and thus bears the name Matin Torah, or giving of the law. And so aren't you so blessed that we still have laws today? You know, right now we're in a culture where it says defund the police. Let me tell you, someone broke into your house at 12 midnight, you're going to call the police. Can I get amen? You need them. We need them. My brother's been in law enforcement. He was 25 years a PD cop. Then from there, he became a gang unit detective. And then from there, he became, he worked for the district attorney's office. And he was an officer for the DA's office. And then he retired. I go, okay, are you done with this, Dave? Oh, no, I just got hired at the DMV as an investigator for the DA. I go, man. See, when we were kids, I had five brothers, right, and six sisters. When we would play cops and robbers, he was always the cop. He was never the robber. And so that stayed with them through life. He was always the man of the law. Praise God. Praise God for the law. Amen. Listen, if we didn't have laws in our land, we would be rebels without a cause. Can I get amen? So we need law and order. This is why Moses had to come down. He had to come down and bring the law down to the Israelites. And so how many remember this photo? Let my people go. I love this guy. I watch it once a year. How many of you watch the Ten Commandments once a year? Or do you just, it's here again. Let's see what else is on. No. You know what? Until I got saved, I didn't know the significance of all this. And then when I got saved, I go, wow. Did you know that the Ten Commandments are still the law of God that's still in effect? Oh, yes. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not steal. All these things. But yet, we're going to see the other side of the law, and that's called grace. You know why? Because the law would condemn us to death. Can I get amen? The law would condemn us, but we're going to see what grace did in the moment. And so, the latter rain is God's great end time ministry, saints of God. This concept, as revealed in the Bible, comprises the restitution of the church to its rightful place. The enormous last day revival soon to come and harvest of souls before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Listen, why is God saving so many over the past 2,000 years? Because there's an end game. At the very end, we don't know who that last soul is. He's coming to take us home, and then he's going to pour out his wrath on an unbelieving world. Oh, yeah. I know it sounds like, how can God do that? Well, here's the thing. God paid an enormous price to send his only begotten son to die on a hideous cross for our sins. And all you have to do during this dispensation, the past 2,000 years, is receive him by grace. Because God sent his only begotten son to love us here on earth that we would choose to live, choose righteousness, choose the way of God. And yet, religion has made it the do's and don'ts. You know, as a realtor, I've sold so many condos and townhomes, and you get this big old giant package called CC&Rs, covenants, conditions, and restrictions, what you can and cannot do there. Well, religion shouldn't be that. Can I get an amen? But you're going to find churches, you got to dress like this, you got to look like this, you got to do that. Come on. We're saved by God's grace. Can I get amen? God will clothe us. Listen, when the Holy Spirit is alive and well, you'll check yourself at the door. Can I get amen? If the Holy Ghost is alive and well, yeah, you'll check yourself. You'll know, man, I'm not dressing appropriate here. God will teach you. God will strengthen you, right? Yes, he will. Praise God. And so it is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the flesh that God promised to us in the last days and the restoration of apostolic and prophetic gifts. Oh, yeah. Let's look at the word right here. Look at this in Acts chapter 2, verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this, what was spoken by the prophet Joel." Look at this in verse 17. "And it shall come to pass in the last days," God said, "I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams." Praise God. "And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." What does that mean, they shall prophesy? All that means is when you get saved, you're going to tell somebody about Jesus. Can I get amen? You can't but help tell somebody about Jesus. Why? Because now Jesus is living inside you, and he was never there at one time. And now you got filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know that now you're heaven bound and a hell to shun, and you want people to know that God is real, that God can save, that God can lift you up, that God can take you to places where you've never been before. Can I get amen? That's what God wants to do. Look at what it says right here in verse 19. "And I will show you wonders in heaven and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. But the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what? Lost? Oh, I'm sorry. It's saved. Right? You shall be saved. This is why God sent the Lord. So let's look at this. Pentecost serves as a reminder that God grants his Holy Spirit to the first fruits of his spiritual harvest. So right now, the past 2,000 years, we are in that spiritual harvest. Can I get amen? God is pouring out his Spirit. Listen, there's someone here that's going to get baptized. Why? Because we're in that harvest time. Can I get amen? God is just saying, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest for your soul." We're here because of him. Can I get amen? We're here because God chose to save you and I. God's poured out his Spirit upon us, and we're here now to give him praise and glory and honor. Praise God, praise God. And so once again, just as a reminder, Passover, Jesus died on that day. He was buried in unleavened bread. He rose again on first fruits. And now our focus is on that fourth festival in the middle called Pentecost. You see, we're still in the church age. Once the church age passes, you don't want to be here on earth. You don't want to be here on earth. You think war and all the ugliness of it is ugly? Nobody wants to see the wrath of God, because the wrath of God is real. And he's going to pour out the wrath on unbelievers that have rejected the grace. They have rejected God's love. They said, "No, I'm going to live my life." Just like in the days of Noah, Noah built an ark, and he told the world during that time that God was going to flood the world of its iniquity. And they laughed and they mocked at Noah, and they just ridiculed him. And so when the day came, animals out of nowhere, God prepared, and they started coming in to the ark. And then God said, "Okay, You've already done what I told you to do, Noah. Bring your family in. And then God closed the door with his power. No one closed the door, but God closed the door. And then the water came from underneath the ground and from above, and the flood came. And it washed away everything that was alive on earth. Here is God's grace. God repopulated the earth after Noah and the ark landed into safety, and the waters resided. And the animals got out, his family got out, and the world was repopulated again. But God said, my grace and my spirit is not always going to be walking with man, because there's going to come a time again where sin and wickedness and evil and violence is going to rise up again. And then this time it's not going to be by water, it's going to be by fire. It's found throughout the Word of God. It's found in Peter and it's found in Revelation. This is why God's grace right now, he's extending. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest for your soul. God is saying, this is the day of salvation. If you hear my voice, harden not your heart. This is the day where you come to family members and friends and co-workers and people and tell them Jesus is about to return. Jesus is coming again. And this is not a fable. This is not a fairy tale. It's not. This is true life, because the Spirit of God that lives inside, it bears witness to your soul. And you have this automatic unction to tell somebody about Jesus. Why? Because the living God chose to live in you to share with them that in the last days, I'm pouring out my spirit and I'm doing an ingathering. So this whole festival of the Feast of Pentecost is an ingathering for the last 2,000 years. He's gathering, he's gathering, he's gathering. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And guess what? You and I, we're a part of that number. If you've received Jesus as Savior, you are part of that number. Can I get an amen? Praise God. I'm telling you, God is doing something miraculous in the midst of his people. And so in this process of revealing his plan, my friends, and his salvation for mankind, God established his annual holidays around the harvest seasons in the Middle East. So right now, as we speak, they are gathering grain again. But on the spiritual side of it, God is gathering souls. So just as his people harvested their crops in these three festivals, God's holy day shows us that he is harvesting people for the eternal kingdom. Praise God. How many want to live forever with Jesus? Or you want to just stay in this body that, man, I can't even get out of bed today. That's right. Listen, some of us, when we were in our 30s and 40s, we maybe had two medicine bottles in the cabinet. 30 years later, there's about 25 of them up in there. One for this and one for that, and you need to take this for that. Can I get amen? Listen, I can't wait till we do away with all that. Can I get amen? I can't wait that we will live in a body forever and ever and ever. There'll be no more disease, no more cancer, no more diabetes. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I believe God has a tailor-made body for me. I can't wait. Man, I'm envisioning it right now. It's probably going to be 60 pounds lighter, and it's going to have some hair on it. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. There's nothing wrong with desiring those things, right? But whatever he has for me, I'll take it. Can I get an amen? I'll take it, Lord. It's better than this body right now. This body's failing me. Praise God. I need the new body. Thank you, God. And so earlier this year, which was 50 days ago, we taught Passover symbolizing Christ giving up himself for us so our sins could be forgiven. Praise God. We also learned that how the days of unleavened bread teaches that we must remove and avoid sin, whether in actions or in attitudes. There's something we must do. We must cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh, right? Listen, after I got saved, there's some things I don't do no more. And God forbid if we go back, the Bible said it's like going back to your own vomit. Like a dog. You ever seen a dog go back to his vomit and lick it up? That's the most gross thing I've ever seen. God said when you go back to your sin after he's delivered you, It's like going back and lapping it up again. Wow. And so the third feast was first fruits. Jesus raised from the dead. The next festival was Pentecost, which we are focusing on. Now, let's go back to the word of God here. In Exodus 23, it says, "And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of your labors, which you have sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering at the end of the year, when you have gathered in the fruit of your labors from the field." Let me just say this. As a child again, born from above, filled with the Holy Spirit, every soul you went to God, He is putting it to your account. Listen, and not just winning a soul, but ministering to souls. When you die to self and you go and pray for someone, when you share the word of God with someone, when you sow into their heart that Jesus loves you, let me pray for you, that you lift them up, that we could come by and minister to those who are down and out. Do you know there's people right now that are down and out? They're just trodden down, and a lot of times they're walking around with no hope. We are the hope for them because Christ, the hope of glory, lives inside of us. Can I get an amen? And this is why we're important. We're the mouthpiece of God here on this earth to bless them, to watch over them, to pray for them, to nurture them. Can I get amen? Because a lot of times they get into a place and, you know, and they can't help it. They're so downtrodden. They're beaten up by life. And then the devil comes and says and tries to blackmail them and says, "You're no good no more." That's a lie from the pit. This is where you have to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Can I get amen? Praise God, praise God. Now, I want you to catch something so that you have an understanding of this. Look at this. In Numbers 28, 26, "Also on the day of first fruits, when you bring a new grain offering to the Lord at your feast," notice I underlined and highlighted feast, "feast of weeks, you shall have a holy convocation." Okay, for those of you that are probably new to the Bible or just none of us like to read Leviticus. What is all that? Numbers. What's all that about? Okay. If you see the word feast like you're seeing now, man, you're thinking, "Oh man, that's hometown buffet. I want this preacher to hurry up because the ribs might be gone." I'm sorry, but there's no more hometown buffet. So forget about the ribs. Now, convocation, what in the world is convocation? To me, I looked at it like, is that something that when in elementary school that they would have a little convocation where they would gather in the auditorium, you know, and do something in that manner? No. So you have to do a Hebraic word search to find out what does really feast mean and what does convocation mean. Let's go there. The Hebrew word for feast is also called moed, meaning appointed times. And the Hebrew word for convocation is mikra, meaning a dress rehearsal. So now, if you tie it in, over the thousands of years, our Jewish friends who celebrate the seven feasts of the Lord, they do it religiously. It's a dress rehearsal for when Jesus comes and shows up and he shows them, "I am the Messiah. I'm the one with the nail-pierced hands. I'm the one that was on the cross for you. I am your Messiah." And many of them, the Bible says, hallelujah, thank you, God. Many of them are going to go, "Oh my gosh, it is. He is our Messiah." And some will still have a hardened heart. My goodness. And so that's what that means. For thousands of years, when we were at the Jewish temple, we always would have second fiddle to the temple there, to our sanctuary, because today we would have been coming back around 3:00 because they would have had precedence over this Feast of Weeks. And guess what? In their rule, in their law, if they have 9 people or less, they can't have a service. And that has happened, and yet we still had to come back at 3. Oh, well. All is well, amen? All is well in the kingdom of God. Praise God, praise God. Now, saints, similarly in the New Testament, which was written in Greek, The festival known as the Feast of Weeks is known to us as this, Pentecost. Pentecostos in the original, which means 50th. Hallelujah. So God chose the 50th day, and that was a jubilee. That's another teaching for another time. But he chose to pour out the Holy Ghost on Pentecost. Wow. Isn't that something? Man, we serve a mighty God. Look, God chose the first Pentecost after Jesus Christ's resurrection, and he poured out his spirit on 120 believers. They were in the upper room. Remember when Jesus said, go and tarry and wait for the Holy Ghost. So who was up there? I'm going to ask this question. There was 120 of them. Who was up there? And this will shatter somebody's theological understanding. Because I know in my past, in the religion that we grew up in, we always idolized Mary. Yes. Didn't we? Yes. Like she was like a super saint or whatever. Did you know that she needed to get saved too? I got some scripture to back that up. Let's go there right now. Let's go to the book of, look at this. The gift of Pentecost was the Holy Ghost being poured out, right? So in Acts 1, 12 through, look at this. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olive, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. And here's the apostles. Look at this. Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. Not Judas Iscariot, but Judas, the son of James. Now, look at this. Here's the revealing moment right here. And these all continued with one accord and prayer and supplication with the women too, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, was with them. Can I get an amen? So the Holy Ghost poured out on her too. And with his brothers. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples altogether, the number of names, and they were about 120. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They're the ones that got filled with the Holy Ghost. Because this is what happened. Look at this. In Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4. Now, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. I just read you the names, including Mary, Jesus' mom was up in there. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as if a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Praise God. Amen. And look at this. Then there appeared unto them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. I remember when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, man, you couldn't shut me up. I was like, it's like, what is that boy on now? Oh, that's right. There's a man. What's he on now? You know what I tell him? I'm high on the Most High. Can I get an amen? That's right. For 3 hours, man, man, and I couldn't quit. It was just flowing. The Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Can I get an amen? How many have had that experience? Okay, just me. He was really on something now. Come on. Wasn't it awesome? It was unspeakable joy. I remember when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, the corner of my mouth were pinned in my ears like this. And I was just like, you think my eyes are tight? They were tighter than that. Man, I was filled with so much joy. I couldn't comprehend it. I must have called 50 people. Guess what? And they were all saying, man, what's up with you now? But 32 years later, they see what's up. Can I get amen? Because the Holy Ghost never left me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Can I get amen? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We serve a mighty God. I hope you know that. And so, saints, these astounding events demonstrated the presence of the Holy Spirit. When they started, they were speaking in languages that the people down below go, man, they're speaking in my language. And every one of them was speaking something different. It was a supernatural event. Can I get amen? And when God comes upon you, it's supernatural. Just remember this. He puts his super on your natural. Oh, yes. And when that takes place, oh, my gosh, it's hard to comprehend it. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Man, I remember we talked about Brother Felipe, right? That evangelist laid hands on me. Hallelujah. Real quickly, they would have a little chapel at 4101 University. They'd have a little small chapel, and that's where you tarried for the Holy Ghost. And so I remember I'm in there, and there was only two people in there. Brothers, Elder Smith, who was married to Bishop Trout's sister, and Brother Felipe. And I was in there, man, like, man, hallelujah, hallelujah, you know, just doing the hallelujah, the hallelujah. I said, man, you know what? I'm already saved, man. I think I got this. I already got this. They go, man, there's more for you, man. There's more for you. Then Elder Smith discerned. He goes, Brother Fee, what do you love in life? I said, there's a lot of things I love in life. He started mentioning. He goes, do you like camping? You like fishing? No, I get sick. He goes, do you like sports? My eyes lit up. Because at that time, I was a Charger season ticket holder. You know, and there were times where, man, when they were at home, I'm sorry, but I'd go and watch the game. He goes, go into your heart of hearts and kick those things off your throne and put Christ there. And all I did was rearrange in my thought life, Jesus, I'm going to put you on the throne of my heart. Everything else doesn't matter. And as soon as I did that, all Brother Felipe did was this. He didn't do in the name and crack my neck, you know, and did that Pentecostal thing. No, all he did was this. He just barely touched my forehead, and the Holy Ghost fell on me. And man, I was never the same since. See, it's all about the heart. It's about the issues of the heart. It's where's your heart at? And if you put Christ first, man, the hope of glory, he will have his way with you. Oh, yes, he will. Look what it says right here. It says right here in Acts 2:17 and Joel in the Old Testament. Same thing. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit on what? All flesh. Can I get amen? He later explained to the listeners. Look at what he said. He said, repent. This have a change. Have a change of mind. Meaning I'm walking the course of this world, right? And just do an about face. I'm going to follow you now, Jesus. So just remember, those who are getting baptized today and those who are getting baptized next week, it's a change of heart. Saying, you know what? I've been walking the course of this world. Now I'm going to choose to follow you, Jesus. And by faith, he will grab you by the hand and he will lead you and guide you into all truth. And he will love you. He will be the lifter of your head. He will do miraculous things in your life. Peter said, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the what? Remissions of sin. That's forgiveness. That's what remission means. And you shall. Didn't say you might. Didn't say maybe. Didn't say, well, you know what? I'll text you when I'm ready. Just, you know, look for an email. No, he says, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. So 2,000 years ago, it's been poured out. And guess what? We've been receiving that grace. Can I get an amen? God's been pouring out the Holy Ghost upon all flesh. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And he's still pouring it out. Now, this is what blew me away. I'm going to show you this, and then we'll close. Look at this. The law and God's grace. Okay, so remember Moses came down. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal, and all that, right? Well, that was great because it set boundaries, and we need boundaries in our life. Every one of us need boundaries. Can I get amen? But what the law could not do, it could not save us. Matter of fact, you know what the law did? It pointed out our sin. It showed us who we were. It showed us that we were sinners. The law showed us everything that this flesh, which died, which was we inherited from Adam and Eve. This is why we have to go back to the dust, because we're still under the curse. Jesus came to destroy that curse, to give us eternal life. And so, under the law, people would die because there was no way they can save themselves. I want you to see something, what happened and how God flipped it. Don't you love when God flipped things in your life? When things look like there's no hope, and then God comes out of nowhere and says, no, there is hope. There's hope in Christ. There's hope in me. Jesus came. This is what I love about Jesus. He came and he stepped over the law and became our advocate. You see, first he's a judge, and then he became our advocate. And then he went to bat for us. He turned to the Father and says, they received me, and I have covered them with my blood. Man, let's look at this. Exodus 32. I want you to catch this. You got to catch this now. Look. Now, when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, Moses went up for 40 days, time of testing. And then he came down with the law, with the Ten Commandments. And he was only gone for 40 days. And man, he came down and they was having a party. They got Moses' brother Aaron to put together a golden calf and said, Moses ain't coming back. He's gone. We need a God like we had in Egypt. So they built a golden calf and started. After God parted the Red Seas, after he delivered them from Pharaoh, after he fed them in the wilderness, he fed them with manna. Moses bust open a rock and they all had water to drink. God was caring for them as they journeyed to the promised land. But when Moses went up to get the law, guess what? They lost hope that fast in 40 days. This lets us know that, you know what? We're so feeble-minded. We'll forget right away how God had delivered us. And when we lose sight of that, we're gonna look into the doctors. We're gonna look into ourselves. And we forget that God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. Can I get amen? God will be the lifter of our head. God will be our deliverer. God is the one that will raise us up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. God is the one that wants to love you. He wants to strengthen you, and he wants you to walk in his ways. Can I get amen? Amen. But look what happened here. Moses brought down for 40 days. He was just gone away to get the law of God. And let's read this. Look at this. Now, when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, for Aaron had not restrained them, to their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together in him. Look at this. And he said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let every man put his sword on his side and go in and out from the entrance to the entrance throughout the camp. And let every man kill his brother, every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. In other words, all those who rebelled, God killed right then and there. What? Aren't you so blessed? All your life, we've been rebellious and God didn't kill us. Can I get an amen? How many are so blessed, man, that he didn't stamp us out like a cucaracho? Oh, that means roach. He didn't stamp us out, did he? Because it's his mercy. It's his grace. Hallelujah. But look what happened there. Look what happened there. And then it goes on to say, look at this, in verse 28, so the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day, meaning they died. They were killed. Then Moses said, consecrate yourselves today for the Lord, that he may bestow on you a blessing this day, for every man has opposed his son and his brother. God brought division. There were some, and there were family members that wanted to be with God, and there was some that rebelled. And so their own family members had to turn against their own family. Why? Because they said, I'd rather choose God. I'd rather choose God. How many would rather choose God? It's about choosing God and live. Listen, when you get to heaven, no one can hold on to your coattail. Get me in here too. No. It's every man to himself. Can I get amen? Amen? You can't save nobody. You can preach to them. You can share, but they got to get saved all by themselves. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. We serve a mighty God, don't we? So that was the law. So the law had to bring death. But Jesus was the Son of Grace. Can I get amen? It was the grace of God. It was God that brought, hallelujah, tremendous, tremendous grace upon his people. Look at this. So in the book of Acts, and with me, look at this. This is when the Holy Ghost was poured out. This is when Peter wrote, we just read, repent and be baptized and be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? And so when you go to verse 40, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received the word were baptized. And at that day, about 3,000 souls were what? Added. So in the Old Testament, 3,000 had to die because of the law. Over here in the New Testament, 3,000 were saved on the same festival day. And it was God's grace, hallelujah, that he said, you know what? What the law couldn't do, Jesus came, hallelujah, to give us and show us mercy, show us grace. Can I get amen? He showed us, hallelujah, that there's a better way. There's only one way, and that's ways through Jesus Christ himself. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We serve a mighty God. We serve a mighty God, and he is worthy. He is so worthy, worthy to be praised. And from this pivotal point, God's Spirit has been available to all who truly repent and properly are baptized. The day or feast of Pentecost is an annual reminder that God poured out his Spirit to establish his church. The group of believers who are led by his Spirit is, I ask this question this, look at this, why we need God's Spirit? Why we need God's Spirit? Look, in the Old Testament, in the book of Kings, it says, when they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin. Meaning, in the book of Romans, the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. So none of us can save ourselves because none of us are self-righteous. Can I get amen? So we need a Savior. We need God. And so the Holy Spirit came. You know why the Holy Spirit came? Not to just make us feel good, because he does. Not to just bring us joy, because he does. Not to bring us fulfillment in our life, abundant life, because he does. But this is the main purpose why he came. Look at this. In John 16, 8, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment of sin because they do not believe in me. Did you catch that? Till this day, there's people that don't believe in Jesus. Why do you think there's so many religions in the world? And they're all, and Jesus is clear. And the word of God was so profound and so clear. Jesus said it, no one can come to the Father but through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So guess what that does? That eliminates all the religions in the world, and they hate God for that. They hate you and I because our Bible, they think it's exclusive. No. It's not that it's exclusive. It's that that's the only way to heaven. Can I get amen? It's through the cross. Religion cannot save you. I don't care how many gods that India has. They have like 5 million gods. How can you remember two of them? A brother, it was Bishop Mandapali. He says, Pastor Fee, there are over 5 million gods. And I said, which one was yours? He goes, all of them. They were all his gods at one time. There was a god for this and a god for that. And guess what? None of them spoke. None of them spoke. Look what Book of Romans says. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Can I get amen? Even in the Old Testament, all that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children. And so this is why in the New Testament, Jesus had to come. He had to come and deliver his people. Aren't you so blessed he came? Let me just say this. You ever heard this said by just people in general? I'm going to get to heaven because I'm a good person. How many have heard that one before? Oh, man, God's going to outweigh my good and my bad. Right? I mean, we've heard that. I've spoken to many people on the job, you know, just even in the grocery store. Oh, I'm a good person. What, who says I'm bad? I go, no one says you're bad. It says that you need Christ to get into heaven. Why? Because when you share this scripture, you can't dispute it. Jeremiah 17, 9, the heart, our human heart, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Come on, throughout one course of a day, how many ungodly thoughts sometimes come? And you go, where did that come from? It makes us, our body, our flesh wants to make us lie and cheat and steal and covet and accuse and slander. Come on, that's because we live in this body of flesh. It hasn't been changed yet. And look at what it says. I, the Lord, search the heart and I test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. So we can't get away from God. God knows all things. Can I get an amen? You know, we think we can go in a room and just close the door. Nobody's in there. Guess what? Jesus is sitting right next to you. You better get that thing off your screen. He's watching. Look at this, thanks to God. Let me go here. The Holy Ghost is the power to raise us from the dead. I shared with you that Brother Felipe's mom has a few days left. And if that day comes, her body is going to be put into the ground. But when Jesus comes, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we're going to follow right behind her. Can I get amen? You see, the Holy Ghost came for this purpose, for us, for you and I as the believer. Look at this. Now, I want you to catch this. You got to catch this. And if Christ is in you, say that with me. If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit, Holy Spirit, is life because of righteousness. Who's righteous? The righteousness of Christ. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. That's the key. If we're going to get raised out from the grave, or if we're going to get caught up to be with God, you have to have His Spirit. Without His Spirit, you're on your own. You're actually on your own. And so the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives, praise God. And how many of you can honestly have experienced His power? Huh? Brother, we shared your story. That was power. Oh, yeah. You transitioned from a home bucket to a saint of God. Can I get an amen? Come on, brother. Look at this. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of all the earth. Now, let me just say this. None of us have been to Samaria. None of us has been to Judea, right? So where's these places in your life? Guess what? It's your next door neighbor. I got some good news. It's your family. It's your friends. It's your coworkers. That's your Judea and Samaria. To take the gospel to them. To let them know that they can be saved too. That God has a plan for their life. That they don't have to live in a life of debauchery no more. Because God can deliver them. And you know what? I know some people that grew up morally sound. They didn't have my testimony. You know, growing up in the street, growing up with hoodlums and what have you. They were good moral people. They were in at curfew. They obeyed their mom and dad. But they didn't have Christ. They were religiously okay, but they'd never been born again. Unless you're born of the water and the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That's clear. That is so clear. And so the coming of the Holy Spirit dramatically changed the lives of these early Christians. The book of Acts is filled with all the accounts of the early church's remarkable spiritual impact on the surrounding society during that time, saints. My goodness. A transformation was so evident that non-believers, they accused the Christians of this. And is God doing this in your life? Turning the world upside down. I know, by God's grace, I have 11 brothers and sisters. When I got saved, my life was turned upside down, and so was theirs. Because they had a witness. They had a witness, a transformation that took place, but God's grace. And by God's grace, three of them are saved. I'm still praying for the other eight. I go, God, why is it taking so long? He goes, don't worry about it. That's for me to worry. You just keep on living your life as a child of God, okay? That's my business to save them. So there's an old saying, you could bring a horse to the well, but you can't make him drink. Can I get an amen? So you just present the gospel, live your life. Listen, how many of you have ever told your friends and family members, hey, how about coming out to church? How about coming to a Bible study? And they'll say, oh yeah, I'll see you there. And they never show up, right? We get that. We don't get mad, you know, but we get that. So God is saying to us, live the life before them. Because the only Jesus they're ever going to see is the Jesus that's inside you. Amen. They will read the Bible by reading your life. And if you're holding on, if you are walking in His grace, walking in His love, and you're not condemning, you're not pointing fingers, you're not doing this, but you're exhorting them, you're praying for them, you're letting them know that there's a better way, there's hope from Jesus. Hallelujah. God will do the rest. He's just looking for us to shine bright, for the light of God will be in us. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to just show you a couple of slides and we close. Look at this right up here. Look at this right here. This was in the Philippines. This was at a crusade. God is still pouring out the Spirit. Can I get amen? Amen. He's still pouring out His Spirit. He's pouring it out. Last week, Bishop prayed for those who received Christ. We're going to raise our hands in a moment. And if you haven't received the Lord, open up your heart. Let them in. Can I get amen? Look at this. This is in Africa. These people will walk 50 miles barefooted just to get there, because a preacher's in the town. Come on. We get in our Beamers, we get in our SUVs, and we just, you know, I'm a few minutes late, that's okay. These people get their days ahead of time. And they don't have HMO and PPO. They don't have ATM machines. They only have God. And God supplies all of their needs. He does miracles after miracles for them. Look at this. This right here, I remember I got this photo. I think Brother Tony remembers. There was a guy that came to Mission Valley about the underground churches in China. And they would crowd in a house like this and have church from the morning till the next day. And they would be, and the only scriptures they would have is a torn piece of the Bible. The rest of it, they memorized in their heart. And they didn't care. They just wanted to be in His presence. This is, you remember Greg Laurie, the Harvest Crusade? This was at, I believe this was at the L.A. Coliseum, Anaheim, where the Angels play. And God is still, He's still pouring out His Spirit. How many can't wait to be in God's presence? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Listen, my friends, I want you to just, right where you're sitting, just raise up your hands. Just raise up your hands right now. I'm going to pray that God's presence would just come upon you. Brother Sam, come up here. You can play something. And ask God to do those miracles in your life. Some of you right now are going through some trials that I wouldn't even wish upon my enemy. And I see you coming faithfully, still striving to be in God's presence, still trusting God. Let me say this. God is going to bless your faith. God's going to deliver in his time. Don't lose hope. Don't ever give up. Can I get an amen? So with your hands lifted up, Father, in the name of Jesus, you see these hands here this afternoon, God. Lord, pour out your spirit right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit. Because we read 2,000 years ago, you chose to pour it out and is still pouring out. You are still saving from the guttermost to the uttermost. You are still finding men and women who you are turning their hearts toward you. And God, we pray. We pray right now that this message, oh God, that these beautiful people that are here would receive the grace of God, the mercy of God. Lord, bestow upon them your peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord, give them joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh God, fill their hearts with joy, oh God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Oh, bless them mightily, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, God. My friends, if you've never received Jesus before ever, pray with me right now. I believe just a confession of faith, of your faith unto the Lord, God will do something mighty, mighty in your life. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I confess to you, God, according to your word, that I have sinned. But Jesus, I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Give him a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Is he worthy? Come on, is he worthy? Jesus is worthy. Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com. Or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.